Dear brothers and sisters, one of the Aesop's fables features a story of an ant and a dove. On a sweltering hot summer day, an ant was searching for food. As it arrived at a stream, it felt thirsty and tried to drink water. But unfortunately, it stumbled and fell into a stream. Being drifted away by the rapid current, it desperately screamed for help. At this point, a dove, watching this from a tree, tried to help out, picking up a leaf and dropping it on the stream. The ant got onto the leaf and managed to get out of the water. Afterwards, one day, the dove was resting on the branch of a tree. While the dove was resting on the branch of a tree, a hunter sneaked up and aimed his arrow at it. The ant happened to watch the scene and rushed to the hunter and bit his foot hard. As the hunter screamed with sudden pain and dropped his arrow, the dove was surprised by that sound and quickly flew away. From the story, we can draw a lesson that such a tiny creature remembered the grace of being saved from the water and repaid it later on. This is the same in our life of faith. There are believers who walk in the light, appreciating the love of the Lord, who unsparingly gave up His life to save them. They are thankful for the love of God who created them, prepared a beautiful heaven, and is guiding them. They love God first and show faithfulness. In doing so, they are leading a life of knowing and repaying the grace of. Hopefully, this message will lead you to remember God's grace and come forth as His beautiful and good children who repay the grace day in and day out. Brothers and sisters, as children grow up with their parents, families, teachers, and friends, and come across various materials from books or the internet, they learn many things like common sense and knowledge. Yet, not many of them remember and obey what they learn. As a child keeps things in mind and acts accordingly, people around him would compliment him, saying, "Successful people are recognized from early on. That kid will end up greatly successful." This demonstrates what a huge impact remembering and obeying others' advice and teachings would make in a person's life. But as many children fail to keep their words in mind and obey, their parents have to exhort and remind them repeatedly until they remember them and act accordingly. If children hated when they are rebuked, but parents want their children to prosper and be better. But some children don't obey, but they don't want to hear a rebuke from their parents. They shouldn't do that. Children who are disobedient, who easily forget their parents' advice, that's why we've even heard a case where an old man aged over 90 said to his 16-year-old son, "Watch out for cars on the streets." This reminds us of a father's love for his child, but we can also tell how much the son had neglected his father's works. Worse, if he had remembered his father's advice and obeyed well while growing up, the father would have said that only once or twice. But as the son didn't, the old man had to remind him again and again. Even though he is very old, the son was very old, even though he was at an age where he didn't need an advice, because he was in the habit of disobeying his father, such a thing happened. Members, if your old parents are still worried about you, that shouldn't happen. Some children are very, if children are obedient, their parents wouldn't be worried. They would only appreciate their obedience, and they wouldn't have to rebuke them. But if parents are worried and concerned, children have to look back on how they grew up. You shouldn't just rebuke your children, but you have to think about yourselves and think about your relationship with the Father God as well, and you can make a lesson out of it. In the Bible were also people who experienced God's great favor and His power but failed to remember them, repeatedly disobeyed, and caused God's wrath. They were the Israelites, living as slaves and suffering harsh labor and mistreatment in Egypt. They groaned in pain, but under the guidance of Prophet Moses, they were finally delivered from Egypt, witnessing God's marvelous power. Yet, following the exodus from Egypt, they neither remembered God's great power nor His profound love of taking notice of them. Whenever in trouble, they grumbled and complained and even tried to stone their leader Moses. We have to know that human beings are like that. As we study the case of the Israelites, when you are in trouble, you have to remember how your previous troubles were resolved. Let's say your problem is so big and it is very unbearable. And even though it was very serious, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but now, how about now? Even though the problem is big, you have a way to escape it. So, when you faced trouble, what should you have to do? Do you have to complain? Do you have to worry? Do you have to, even though we had problems serious in the past, but God provided a way of escape. There are many types of people. Some people confess with faith, others complain. But after a while, things got better and better. And those who complain have to regret about their complaint. We have to remember that even though your problems right now seems very serious, God gives you have a way to escape it. As we think about our past problems in the past, some of them were more serious than we have now, and ultimately they were resolved. Even though we have to challenge ourselves, we should not forget our shortcomings. And when the same thing happens, we have to remember and pray our shortcomings. Then, when the problems come next, we can solve it easily. But people have a tendency to forget the lessons. The same with the Israelites. They are just like the human beings. As we see how Israelites acted, we have to look at ourselves and fix ourselves. Since Moses, while they were in the wilderness, and Moses knew that he wouldn't be able to enter Canaan with them, and he had to appoint Joshua as the leader. Moses knew that in advance, but Moses was still worried because Moses saw the disobedience. Even though they were the second generation, so Since the prophet Moses couldn't trust the people enough as they were about to enter Canaan, he mentioned the word remember a lot of times in Deuteronomy, about 11 times. In today's passage, he said, "But you shall remember that you are a slave in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing." We also read in chapter 5, verse 15, "You shall remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm." Being well aware that the people were foolish and quick to betray the grace, Moses mentioned in chapter 31, verse 27, "For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I'm still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death?" Can you imagine how heartbroken Moses must have felt seeing the Israelites who would forget God's precious covenants with his commandments and his commandments and have a change of heart? But I appreciate the mommy members. When we were with the shepherd, we didn't obey and we didn't satisfy our justice. And we just thought that when good days come, everything will be done. Because I trust the shepherd, everything will be done. And we were very slow. But the shepherd was... And the shepherd confessed that he prepared things so mommy members could enter New Jerusalem. And the shepherd's mind thought about that changed. And so that his devotion and dedication doesn't go down the drain, we have to run vigorously. I'm very thankful that you are doing that. You don't say, "It's impossible, I cannot do that." You remember the tears and devotion of the shepherd and you want to bear fruits because they are not gone. They haven't disappeared. It's still, God still guarantees us with the power. His tears and devotion are not gone. We have to lay the foundation with that and have to bear fruit. We have to try harder and we have to pray and share the gospel. Things are not impossible, but they are possible. How wonderful. We have to grow that passion. We have to run harder and more vigorously. We have to fulfill the shepherd's demand, which is entering New Jerusalem. The Israelites were not... But is this a case with the Israelites alone? According to Wikipedia, as of 2023, the number of Christians amounts to 2.4 billion among 8 billion world population. There are many Christians on the face of the earth. Though such numerous people profess to believe in the Lord, so many of them fail to possess true faith like the Israelites, turn to the left or to the right, and have a change of heart according to their benefits. On the Sabbath, they come to church for services, but during the other 6 days of the week, they forget about the Lord's sacrifice on the cross and the grace of redemption and live just like the world people do. Some Christians in their workplace don't confess that they're Christians. And they hide the fact that they're Christians. And why do they have to do that? We have to emit the aroma of Christ and share the gospel. Having lost their ardent first love for the Lord, they neither pray nor devote themselves for Him. They think that just coming to church once a week guarantees salvation. Some even go further Some even go further than that in pursuit of their benefits. While they don't even go to church on the Sabbath, they say to themselves, because I believe in my heart, that's enough. They interpret the Bible in their own way. The Bible says that we have to believe from the heart, but that means that if we believe from the heart, we have to demonstrate these to become righteous ones. But some people say that the Bible tells us to believe from the heart, so it's okay not to go to church because I believe from the heart. I can be saved. They interpret the Bible the way they please. They indulge in eating and drinking on the Sabbath. They end up seeking their own benefits, financial well-being, and an easy and comfortable life. To us, living in such a generation, God tells us to remember. So, let me make 3 points of what we have to remember. First, we have to remember the grace we received. The greatest grace we've received is the fact that we've been delivered from the eternal death by the Lord's sacrifice, have received eternal life, and will live forever in heaven. God's grace by which He unsparingly gave up His only Son to save us, the Holy Spirit's grace by which He doesn't leave us alone in this harsh world, but always helps us and leads us to righteousness, the grace of granting us the message of the cross, which enables us to cast off all forms of evil and sanctify ourselves, in the grace of letting us grow our spiritual faith day after day by seeing signs and wonders, all of which cannot be compared to anything indeed. There are a number of days we are to remember for the rest of our lives, such as the day we first accepted the Lord and received salvation, the day we received the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, the day we were healed by God's power, the day we registered at this church. We also have many married couples, some couples are upset when their spouse doesn't remember their wedding anniversary. But we also have to remember to celebrate the days. You may rejoice with such physical anniversary, but what about the spiritual days? We also have many people who extended unforgettable favors to us. We shouldn't forget them. Like people who brought us to the Lord and to this precious church, those who comforted and helped us when we were in trouble, and the church workers who encouraged us and provided us with new hope when we were disheartened and discouraged. But today, many people express their gratitude as they receive help or favor in times of trouble, but they easily forget it with the passing of time. But the man of truth whom God wants, the man of truth whom God wants us to be are truthful people who never forsake the favor they received, make sure to keep it in their hearts and pay it back. Apostle Paul confessed in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. As Paul was determined to repay the Lord's immeasurable grace, he never complained no matter the hardships or trials. He rather stayed thankful and preached the gospel. As you share God's grace with others, the grace spreads and overflows among people. Likewise, as Apostle Paul shared the gospel, the Lord's grace and His love deepened in his heart, making him the best apostle of power in the New Testament times. Because his grace was deep, he didn't stay silent. Because he was overwhelmed with love, he went out and shared the love with others. Because he loves the Lord, he wanted to... Because our Lord wants to save many people, he wanted to fulfill his wish, so he went out and practiced and tried to resemble our Lord and gave glory to God. That's why he became the apostle of such great power. By hopefully, all of you keep in mind that remembering and repaying the grace like this is one of your duties or basics. By doing that, we're on the beautiful path to obtaining a glorious place in heaven, which brilliantly shines forever. Secondly, we have to remember the lessons regarding evil. This is not to say that when we see something evil, we have to keep evil in our heart. Rather, you have to draw a lesson from it and guard yourself against evil, remembering that lesson. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 tells us, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." From the Bible in the Old Testament, we see the history of Israel and those people, righteous people who were, there were few righteous people, the numbers were few, but the evil people who betrayed God and forsook His grace were many. But we have to draw a lesson. That's why Father God recorded them in the Bible. As you read the Bible and learn about the cases where people committed evil and ended up on the way to destruction, you have to draw a lesson out of it. Make a resolve never to fall into such evil. Keep it in your heart and stay on alert in prayer so you wouldn't follow in their wrong footsteps. For example, in Numbers chapter 16, we find an incident where Korah, a Levite, plotted to rebel, uniting with Dathan and Abiram. Forming a group, they stood against Moses along with 250 leaders of the congregation. Outraged by this, God executed His immediate judgment against all men belonging to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Despite Moses' interceding prayer, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. Also, the rebellious 250 leaders who brought their censers and offered the incense were consumed by the fire from God and died right on the spot. God then declared in Numbers chapter 16 verse 38, "As for the censers of this man who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered sheets for a plating of the altar, since they did present them before the Lord, and they are holy. And they shall be for a sign to the sons of Israel." And the following verse 39 and 40 read, "So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers which the men who were burned had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Israel, that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, so that he will not become like Korah and his company, just as the Lord has spoken to him through Moses." The 250 censers were made into hammer sheets for a plating of the altar of God, along with Aaron's rod that budded. The sign gave the Israelites a lesson and a warning against evil. As we remember the lessons about evil this way, we can stay on alert and prevent ourselves from falling into the same types of sin and evil. On top of that, we can cast up such evil forms as arrogance, betrayal, and rebellion and walk the right path. Other than this, the Bible warns us against many forms of untruth and evil and tells us that walking in such ways will result in frightening judgment. That's why we shouldn't just consider them as historical events, but we have to learn a lesson out of them. You may think those incidents have nothing to do with you, but you shouldn't. You have to hold on to the word, and you have to. There are stories of betrayal, stories of arrogance. There are, even though you don't betray someone, but the root of betrayal, like Korah compared the people of Korah compared themselves to Moses, and they ended up betraying Moses. You may think you don't betray someone, but in your heart, you may have those attributes by which you compare yourselves to others. You compare yourselves to others and you feel distressed about that. If such heart increases, if such a heart develops, you may have. And when you are not recognized and acknowledged, you feel upset. As such feelings pile up, you may end up with betraying someone among relationship with others. When we can draw many lessons, people around us, as we see how people behave around us, I believe that you don't like to see evil things. As people commit evil, peace is broken, and in your workplace, when someone speaks not in a good way, people are upset, and you also have those experiences. When you are ignored, they want to pay it back. They want to ignore them back. We have to stay vigilant against evil, but we remember the moments when someone bothered us, and you shouldn't remember the times when people bothered you, when people distressed you and stressed you out, when people ignored you, when people make you feel ashamed. You shouldn't remember such things. You have to remember good things. You only remember such grace and favor you receive from people. You have to also remember the love and grace of God and our Lord. Those distressful moments, you have to forget them. But you have to. Some people, as they talk about their past, we remember each person's memory is different. You may have those moments when you were hurt and you were offended, but after many days, you don't have to remember them. The moments you were hurt, you have to change those thoughts into good thoughts. And there are also, we must not forget the times when we faced troubles or got stricken with a disease or a problem by not living by the word. You may hate it when you. Why do we have to remember that? We can prevent ourselves from committing such sins again. We can change ourselves. As you look back on yourself, there were times you committed sins and evil, and you repeatedly commit sins. I think that way. When I do something wrong that I have regret about, I think about. I try to make sure that the regret that I have shouldn't be the regret 2 years or 1 year later. People have regrets as they wrap up their year. They remember what they resolved to do in the beginning of the year, and they have regrets for this and that, and they begin to complain. But even at the But some people try to make sure they don't have the same regrets a year later or 2 years later, and they try to remember their heart's resolutions and try. When we have a time to look at ourselves, we are hurt and we are offended. But that way we can, if we have our sins in the past, we have to thoroughly repent and turn back and live a changed life. Then we can give thanks to God from our heart. We have to change ourselves never to commit such sins and evil. I hope that you keep the word in mind and cast off all forms of evil, thereby living amidst God's love and His grace all the time. Thirdly, we have to remember the words and lessons about goodness. The more we remember and dwell on good things, the more goodness we can have in our hearts. In doing so, we can practice goodness which is pleasing to God. As we remember goodness and truth and pile them up in our hearts, untruth and evil naturally leave our hearts and minds. No wonder we can achieve a good heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "The good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the old evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil." Since the founding of the church, we've only taught God's goodness here. Even though some members found the message difficult to understand and act by and left, we've never changed our message in ways that men find good to hear and feel comfortable. The reason is, it's not the way God wants us to go. Salvation, answers, and blessings are from God. Thus, we are to figure out God's will and only obey accordingly. But what would happen if we change the messages because we find them demanding and difficult to act by, and our members live accordingly? Even if they obey the word on their part, they will fail to receive God's answers and blessings, and as they take a wide and comfortable path and faith, they may stray from the boundary of salvation. Therefore, I hope that as you take joy in hearing the word of goodness, you long for deeper levels of goodness and attain to them. Right now, you may not comprehend His messages. You may not comprehend His goodness perfectly or find it difficult to act by. But as you long for true light and strive for change, you will experience change for sure. And if you remember the story of Daniel, Father God showed the reversal for Daniel. Even though you don't understand the story of goodness, you may not. You have to keep it in your heart, and as you grow your faith, you can understand their story and your faith grows. I hope that you. Therefore, I ask you to remember the words and lessons of goodness which are from God and not forget them, thereby coming forth as beautiful fruits of the human cultivation. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. There is another significant thing we have to remember until our Lord comes again, and that is the Holy Communion we are going to attend right after the sermon. We are to attend the Holy Communion and eat the Lord's flesh and drink His blood. In doing so, we can have life and walk the way of eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 53 writes, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves.'" Here, the Son of Man refers to Jesus. The verse tells us that unless we eat Jesus' flesh and drink His blood, we will have no life in ourselves, and we end up in hell which is eternal death. The flesh of the Son of Man signifies the Word of God, the truth, as Jesus stated in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Thus, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, we have to make bread of the words of God recorded in the 66 books of the Bible. As I mentioned earlier, we are to remember the words, warning against evil, long to hear the messages of goodness, and strive for change. This is eating the flesh of the Son of Man. Next, Jesus said that we have to drink the blood of the Son of Man. How can we drink His blood? The blood of the Son of Man, namely Jesus' blood, is the precious blood that can give us the redemption, and it is the blood of the covenant shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Man's blood contains sinful natures, but since Jesus had neither original nor self-committed sins, He had no sinful natures at all. It is the person's blood that bears life, eternal life, and the power of rejection. But even though Jesus shed His precious blood on the cross, it's not that all men are forgiven. When a person believes Jesus Christ to be his Savior, moves from the way of sinners onto those of righteousness, depart from evil, and practices goodness, and comes out of the darkness and walks in the light, he can be forgiven for all his sins by the Lord's precious blood and become a righteous person. Then why did our Lord command us to conduct the Holy Communion? Because He was well aware that men are prone to forgetting grace. He commanded us to attend the Holy Communion and remember His grace and love embedded in the redemption. May you deeply engrave His grace in your heart as you practice in this Holy Communion and eat the bread symbolizing His flesh and drink His wine symbolizing His blood. And I ask that you will become blessed Christians who don't forget the love, but always remember dwelling on how you could repay the grace and how you could bring joy to God and please the Lord. I pray in our Lord's name that all of you will become a source of joy to God and our Lord and enjoy great glory in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.